Lord, we thank you for this sacred event this week, this night, this sacred privilege of being here with these great people, with this great calling and purpose, with your word and mind in our hearts, from your Holy Spirit, and how you have done all of this, all of it, the everything, Lord. You have given the increase and have saved us from many out of six trials, yea, even seven. You have delivered us from evil. Thank you. You, Lord, have given the increase in our hearts and our faith and comforted us and led us in the way that we should go. And we just thank you, Father. We do pray for Pastor tonight. Thank you so much for all of your people who have, by your Spirit, equipped, imparted, protected. You have protected, imparted, you, Lord. And we pray, Father, for the continuation in the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you. And bless our thoughts tonight through Pastor Love and others here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. Turn to Exodus chapter 4. This is an introduction, and this is our youth night when Pastor Love shares with us. And he has done such a... The Lord has used him to really...
Yeah.
Lord has used him to impart much to us, and also especially to the young people, and has protected, encouraged, imparted, trained, discipled. The joy of the young people and the clarity of the young people in the ministry. And here is what I want to share with you for a few minutes, and it is divided loyalties in my soul. Because in my mind, I have the belief that I should follow God. How about that? What do you think? Good idea. Let's follow God. Sound right? And in my mind, I definitely believe that, and I would love to do that. But then I find in my heart of something else. Has anybody ever found that happen in your soul? Have you ever had a good confession and then have found your heart going off in another direction? Have you ever put a mask on and you kind of got used to it and you wore it day and night? And then you kind of hated yourself because you have a mask on, it's not who you are. But you're actually able to get along pretty well. But inside, there's something not right there. And I think that what young people and all of us have experienced here, and I am sure in all of the churches, wherever you have come from, that this is a miracle and an awesome work of grace in us. And that is, we really are who we are. That's amazing. That there are times when I have a divided heart, but Psalm 86:11, unite my heart to fear thy name. Hosea 10:2. There is the divided heart. The heart also that is half-baked. We really need God to bring into us this amazing health, this unity that is in God to come into us and flow through us. And when that is happening in our lives, we are amazed at it. It's really a good definition for health. Health is a lack of the divided loyalty or the lack of sincerity. Health is sincerity and truth in the inner man. Health is what happens to us when the Holy Spirit fills us. Health is what happens in our mind when we begin to think with God and we go, wow, woo, that's amazing. I love that. I love godliness. Or I love the truth. And when this is happening in you, young people, I feel that young people are really capable of smelling out hypocrisy. Have you ever noticed that? They look behind, oh! You know, you have... But young people, they can, you know, they have a nose for whether it's genuine. They have an idea of whether it's like that is really you. And if that is really us, then we have the greatest thing going in the human race. And that is Christ is in us. Because there was nothing divided about him. He was really right on target. All the time, all the time in his life, he was hitting the target. He was genuine. If there was a mask there, you could say there wasn't. But if there was, you put look behind the mask, and there he is, and actually the same as the mask. I mean, of course, he had no mask, but. What they saw is who he really was behind, and ultimately the very essence of his person. And just for a short thought, this would be a long message, really. It has the potential to be, but look at chapter 4, verse 10. Will you chop it up here? Verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. The Lord called him. The Lord called Moses. And he wanted to do it. If we were to read the beginning of the chapter, we see the three miracles that happened. Lord said, I called you, I'm with you. Moses said, how will the people know that you are with me? And the Lord did perform the miracles. And then after the miracles, Moses comes back with another. Verse 10. Lord, I am not eloquent. What's the problem here? That in Moses, there has not yet penetrated into him. This is not yet deep in him. His calling is not yet there. Because after doing three of these miracles, it would have been easy for him to say, okay, God, wow. I put my hand in my bosom and pulled it out. It was white and leprous. I put it back in and it was clean. Not bad. I threw my staff on the ground. It became a serpent. I picked it up and it was a rod. Not bad. I poured water out on the ground and it became blood. I think you're with me. I'll go. You're with me. But he didn't say that. But he came back with a personal sense of inferiority and self-consciousness. I'm not eloquent. I don't speak like other people do. I can't. You know, Lord, send somebody else. Maybe. We don't know. But we all know the principle that every one of us, and really every one of us, have those things in our lives that we bring before God. You know, we say, I want to, but I can't. Look, I believe in you, and I believe that you are able, but look, have you noticed, Lord, this is me. This is me. And I'm saying that in church life, and what Dr. Stevens was used by God in an awesome way to help us to believe God and to look at God. Because every one of us have something. It's a divided sense of yes, but. Yes, I'll go, but my personal sin. Yes, I believe that, but, you know, I have a problem with my sin. Or my weakness, or my human incapacitation, or handicap, or history. And the Lord could say to us, come on. I mean, I'll tell you, the Lord could say to us, this is perfect. Because the real problem isn't your tongue, Moses. The real problem is your heart. And I want to teach you. I want to lead you. And lead you. Go, come on, follow me. I am God. I made your mouth. I am God. I am the reason for your life in what it is, and I've called you, and I want you to follow me, and the Spirit of God, and we sense it so strongly here, and we're just saying to the Lord, and let me just close with this, that, you know, this week and through the year, it's been amazing to see the work of the Spirit of God in the body of Christ. It's amazing to believe that with God all things are possible. I mean, all things are possible with God. But I would like the Lord to, by the layers, I'd like Him to go through all of me and me bring all of that I am before Him and say, unite my heart to fear your name. And unite my heart to be utterly and totally dependent on you. And you fill me with your Spirit. And then out of my belly will be a river of life. And I'll be healthy. And maybe I speak funny, but it doesn't really matter when you are healthy. And maybe we are lame or limping, or we have a thorn in the flesh, or we have something ugly in our past. But it doesn't matter when the living God has anointed us and called us in His will and in His way. And you know, young people are drawn to that. Because we are also able to say, I'm double-minded, I have a divided heart. We're also able to say, I messed up, or I failed many times, or, you know what, I'm a little bit confused at times, but I know where to go with my confusion. And I know how I can trust in Him. And God uniting my heart to fear His name and have no other gods before me but Him and Him only. And then He is our life and it comes through us. And we say, whoa. You know, I'll just quote the last one. If I'm divided and there's a vote and I have 7 members in my division and there's a vote on an issue of 4-3, I might learn about the majority, but after the vote, I don't have much power to carry it out. Guys, I'm so divided, 4-3, like the Supreme Court. It might be a vote of 4-3. And I might have majority, and I decide to do like that, but there's 3 members that are tagging along. But what happens when it's unanimous and it's 7-0 in my soul? What happens when I'm fully persuaded in every part of my being and there is no division in my soul? Then I have the energy to execute what my conviction is, and that means that the Spirit of God has united our heart to fear His name, and now we can do His will with great pleasure, and there's no contest. Amen.
Okay. Praise God. Amen. Wow. Father, bless now this portion. Thank you for this convention. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for sharing your heart with us, as you are always so faithful to do. Do it again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I just been meditating most of the morning, most of the afternoon on the message this morning, which was a great one, wasn't it? Awesome. And one of the many parts that really spoke to me was when Pastor Schaller early in the message this morning said that so often we are so stupid. I know that's probably, maybe that's meditating on something that's probably not the best part of the message to meditate on. But nevertheless, it's true, isn't it? And the reason why it's true is because of our natures. And the reason why it's true is because of that animal that God likens us to in the Bible, which of course is the sheep. And when my wife and I went on our 25th wedding anniversary to Ireland, we were driving in the countryside around this place called the Ring of Kerry. It's out in the countryside. It's absolutely beautiful. And we're driving up high in the mountains. And there were a lot of sheep up there. And I saw one of them. And I was so startled by what I saw that I had to pull over and just look and observe. The sheep walked into a bush. And it got stuck. And it was just kind of, you know, bleeding. But it couldn't move. No, I did not help it. I just laughed. And I said, "Stupid sheep." And I just, you know, I couldn't get that thought out of my mind, which was good because God came in after that thought and said, "Did you see that?" I was like, "Oh, yeah." And He goes, "That's so much like you." And as I began to think about it, I realized how true that is. Don't we have a tendency just to walk into bushes and get stuck? Don't we have a tendency to just walk up to a cliff and keep going? Think of how many times we have been warned from the pulpit. Stay away from sin. Stay away from darkness. Don't go down this road. Stay away from this path. I mean, we read Proverbs. We read Psalms. We read all of the admonitions and all of the warnings in the Bible. And we say, "Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, what a message." And then we kind of walk out of here and we're like, and we do it. It's like, where's all the truth that we heard? Where's all the power that we talked about? Where is the direction? Where's all the discipline in our souls? And sometimes, I don't know, the sheepishness of us gets the best of us. Did you ever notice that? You know, in American history, we've got our heroes. And I'm not talking about the more contemporary ones because they're all kind of weird. You know, the Supermans and the Spidermans and X-Mans and all these other things. You know, there's too many of them. But in the old days, you know what the American hero was? It was a cowboy. And, you know, and you think of all of the movies that they made about cowboys. And we everybody looked up to cowboys because there they are. They're just kind of out there and they're just driving the cattle through the countryside. And, you know, they really were depicted as kind of like American heroes. And, you know, the hero in the Bible is a little different than the cowboy. It's not a cowboy, but it's a shepherd. That's the hero that we read of in the Bible. And the difference, well, there's some similarities with the cowboys and the shepherds, but, you know, there's only a few of them. I mean, they're both very alert, and they both put in, you know, long, long days, and they both care very much for what it is that, you know, their respective herds. But right there probably are where the similarities end. Because the cowboy, he drives the cattle, doesn't he? And the cowboy, he knows the names of all of his ranch hands, but he doesn't know the name of the sheep. Whereas the shepherd, he doesn't drive the sheep, but he leads them. He guides them. He speaks to them. And John's Gospel, chapter 10, as it describes the Lord Jesus Christ, or he describes himself, he says, I know my sheep by name. And I was reading recently this story about shepherds that actually do. Someone was visiting. He said, you know, is that really true about shepherds knowing their sheep by name? And he said, it is. It's absolutely true. He says, well, show me. And the shepherd called out one of the sheep by name, and immediately it turned. And it came up to him. And he held it, and he picked it up, and he embraced the sheep. Now, when do you see cowboys doing that with their cattle? You know, when do you see a cowboy going up to one of the big hunks of beef saying, come here, big fella. Man, I love driving you through the countryside. You know where we're going, don't you? We're going to kill you. You know? I mean, the cowboy, he just looks at the beef, you know, because that's what he's going to become. It's just meat. Whereas the shepherd has a little bit more. You know, he's thinking a little bit more because he's thinking of the, you know, the wool that they're going to get from these sheep. And he's taking them to be shorn, but not the cattle. He's kind of driving them and really driving them and leading them to eventually what is probably going to be a place of slaughter. And I don't think he really loves the cattle. I don't think he really cares about the cattle. I think he cares more about getting the paycheck when it's all over. The cowboy, he's going to wrestle the cattle. He's going to brand them. He's going to herd them. He's going to rope them. But the shepherd, on the other hand, he's going to lead. He's going to guide. He's going to feed. And it says in Psalm 23, he's going to anoint. And each step of the way, and I think that that's what this convention is all about. We have come here believing God, and especially in particular our young people, believing God, that God is going to speak to us personally. Because there's nothing like when God speaks to our hearts personally. And he shares something personal with us. Because that's what we need to live this life, isn't it? I read this funny story about an assistant of a believer who was in a hospital. She had some surgery. She was in the recovery room. And there was a gentleman about two beds away. And he was kind of moaning and groaning. And he was clearly in pain. And the nurse came up to him and she said, there, Tom. It's going to be all right. And he just kept going, oh, and she said, just go with the pain, Tom, just go with the pain. And he just kept groaning, and he's like, oh, and she says, it's all right, you're going to be okay, just hang in there. And then finally, this woman said, he heard him say, he looked at the nurse, he goes, my name's not Tom. So she picked up the chart, and she says, oh, it's good. Just go with the pain, Dave, go with the pain. You know, she didn't know his name. And it was, you know, I think that caused him more pain than the pain he was actually feeling. Like, why do you keep talking to me and you don't even know my name? But, you know, there's something about shepherds. And, you know, I think we have one here in our church here in Baltimore. You know, Pastor Schaller has this amazing ability to know people by their name, you know? And that, I love that. Because that's a shepherd's heart, isn't it? And pastors know the names of the people in their flock, in their ministries. And sometimes I'm not real good at names, so I always, you know, kind of get reverted back to, hey, pal, hey, buddy, or how about, this is a real classic, sir. That's respect, anyhow. But sometimes when you forget that name, so if during the course of the convention, you know, we haven't seen each other's faces for some time, we might just have to come up and say, what is your name again? Because there's something about looking at someone in the eyes and calling them by their name. Jesus does that with us. He calls us by His name. He's our good shepherd. And He's not interested in driving us. He's not interested in hurting us. You know, in the world, Pastor Stevens used to talk about the herd mentality. Remember that? And that's what drives them. It's just a herd mentality. But when we got saved, we were called away from the herd, and we were brought rather into the flock of God, where we became very personal with our Savior. Very personal with what He wanted to do in our lives and where He wanted to take us and how He wanted to lead us. The unfortunate part sometimes is that some people still see God more like the cowboy than the shepherd that He is. You know, just the he's got that kind of that leather face, and he's got the square jaw, and he's just kind of out there. And he's, you know, some people, you go to some churches and they feel that way. They feel like they're being driven to a place where they really don't want to go against their wills. But that's not what God does it? He leads. He does it carefully. He does it tenderly. Psalm 23, verse 1, what is God referred to as there? The good shepherd. The good shepherd. And it says that the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 79, verse 13, it says, we are the people, the sheep of His pasture. And then in the next verse, Psalm 80, verse 1, shepherd of Israel, it says, you lead the people of Joseph like a flock. That's the heart of God. That's how God leads His people. That's how God deals with His people. And if there's one thing we need, and if there's one thing that must be at the center of our lives, because God knows we have not come together just simply to rally the sheep together so that the sheep could talk to each other and that the sheep could receive counsel from each other. We have come together because at the center of our lives is the shepherd Himself. We've come to celebrate the shepherd. We've come to celebrate the work of the shepherd. We've come to remind ourselves that without a shepherd, we are lost. We are in a world still without hope. I'm so glad that He is here for that purpose, that He's going to be with us this week. I love Psalm 95, verse 7. It says, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. And then when you get into the New Testament, the similarities are still there. Luke chapter 15, verse 4, He's the shepherd who risks His life for the one sheep who goes astray. I mean, think about that. Sometimes cattle can get away from the herd, but if the herd is big enough, they will let those cattle go. They'll just keep moving forward because time is of the essence and there's money at stake. But if the shepherd loses one sheep, if that one sheep goes astray, He's going to go out. He's going to leave the 99. He's going to find it. And He's going to bring it back. And He's going to make sure that it's safe again in the fold. And I don't know about you, but I feel that way so often. There are times when we probably get a little too over self-confident. There are times where, you know, we kind of get on a roll in our faith, and we don't really seem to look to God the way we would if we were in the midst of a crisis or a great trial. But then there are other times where we just feel like sheep, and we need to hear the voice of our shepherd, and we need to know that He is there and gently leading us, guiding us, directing our paths. Because if there's one thing sheep do not possess, it is the ability to direct their lives. They've got to be led. Or else you end up in that bush like that sheep we saw. Or else you end up walking over a cliff, and I hear that they're capable of doing that. I understand that when they see running water, a stream or a creek, that they will instinctively run to it. And because of the heavy wool that they carry, they can get in the water and literally drown. Is it any wonder why the psalmist said, Psalm 23, that you are the good shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, and He leads me beside the still waters. And, you know, sheep, they don't have any fangs, they don't have any claws. You know, they're defenseless. Isn't that just like us? We get ourselves into all kinds of trouble, and God knows that Satan is out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And here we are, the helpless ones in the flock, unable to do anything to protect ourselves. And again, here's the Lord, our shepherd. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me because they protect me and they bring me through even the most difficult of circumstances. I just can't imagine where any of us would be tonight if we didn't have a shepherd. I can't imagine how difficult our lives would be. It would be like we'd be going back to the beginning before we even knew the Lord, and we'd be trying to direct the course of our lives. And I love what Jeremiah 10:23 says, that I know, O Lord, it is not in man to direct his steps. That's kind of like saying, Lord, if we don't have a shepherd, then we're going to live a very misdirected life. We're clearly going to choose to go down a wrong path. we're clearly going to, take the road that is most dangerous for us and not realize it until it's too late, until we've gotten in all kinds of trouble. But God is so good. 1 Peter 2:25 says He's the shepherd of our souls. And Hebrews 13:20 says He's the great shepherd of the sheep. I know this because I know it firsthand. Sheep aren't smart. They're just not intelligent at all. And I just am so reminded of it so often in my own life because of my inability to direct my own paths and the need to have God come and lead me in paths of righteousness and do it for His namesake. And you know, at the center of our lives, there isn't some kind of secret strength that we discover that people are asking us about. At the center of our lives, you know, it's no great secret. Nobody is, you know, trying to find out what makes this Christian tick or what makes this Christian live an extraordinarily wonderful life. There is no secret. When you get to the center of our lives, if you find the shepherd, then you discover why we are going down the right path. If you get to the center of our lives and you realize that there's fruit to be found there, it's because we're being led, we're being guided. He's taken us by the hand, so to speak, and He's leading us in that direction. And I just want to close with this. I read this the other day and I thought it was good. That this is what Psalm 23 might sound like if we didn't have a shepherd. I am my own shepherd, and I'm always in need. I stumble from mall to mall and shrink to shrink, seeking relief but never finding it. I creep through the valley of the shadow of death and I fall apart. I fear everything from pesticides to power lines and I'm starting to act like my mother. I go down to the weekly staff meeting and I am surrounded by my enemies. That's not the case anymore. Just kidding. I go home, and even my goldfish scowls at me. I anoint my headache with extra strength Tylenol. My Jack Daniels runneth over. Surely misery and misfortune will follow me, and I will live in self-doubt for the rest of my lonely life. And isn't that true? That's probably what the Psalm 23 would sound like if we didn't have a shepherd. And I read this story once. It was so beautiful. There was this very wealthy family. They had this night where they invited all of their friends over. And there were many, many honored guests. One of the honored guests was this tremendous orator. He had this impeccable gift of speaking. And during the course of the evening, one of the hosts got up and she said, "Would you please read for us Psalm 23? And of course, he got up and he just, you know, he quoted it. He just got right up and he read it beautifully and eloquently, and everybody applauded and said that was amazing. And then, you know, she also had invited a pastor who was the pastor of a local church not far from their home. And she said, "Pastor, would you like to read it also?" And he got up and he read it. And after he read it, they said that the whole place was quiet. People were weeping. And the man who read the first psalm, you know, the eloquent speaker, he said, "Although it is clear that I know the psalm," he says, "it is even more clear that man knows the shepherd." And isn't that the difference? We can quote the psalm. We can talk about the psalm. We could talk about the characteristics that characterize the shepherd. But more importantly than that, God wants us to know Him as our shepherd, so that we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and because He is, I shall not want." He's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. He's going to protect me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to keep me safe from my enemies. He's going to bring me to a place where I can drink and be satisfied and be fulfilled. And you know what? Goodness and mercy, His two favorite sheepdogs, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. And you know what that makes us want to do? Dwell in the house of the Lord for the whole convention. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.